The Mishnah in Ksubis tells us that when a couple gets divorced, the husband is always obligated to pay Ksuba, unless it can be ascertained that it was the fault of the wife that the marriage fell apart. So how do you ascertain that it's the fault of the wife? So the Mishnah says if she's a miserable witch and she's always cursing the husband and cursing the Shviger, the Kalelos Yolda Befanov, or she does ridiculous things that obviously she doesn't want to go to mikveh, other ridiculous things that simply ruin the marriage. In the last perek in Ksubis, and the first of the Marmekaymes, on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, the Mishnah has the following case. A couple is married for years in New York, and the husband, Faltaina Mishigas, he wants to go on Aliyah, he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. The wife says, what are you, crazy? We got married here, we've been living here with the children and grandchildren and the in-laws and everybody. Why should we go to Eretz Yisrael? The husband is eingespart now. He says, we got to move to Eretz Yisrael. Either you move with me or I give you a get. So she said, give me a get. You got to pay ksuba. Yom sugar. So the Mishnah says that the one, whether the husband or the wife, the one who insists that they want to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerecht taina. And the one who wants to stay behind is wrong. So if it's the wife who wants to stay behind, we consider it as if the wife is responsible for ruining the marriage. What do you mean the wife responds? The husband is the Meshugan over here. They've been living here for so long. So the Mishnah tells us, no, that whenever there's a couple, whenever it's reasonable that they should move to Eretz Yisrael, we'll have to get the details a little later, what's called reasonable, what's called unreasonable. So if one spouse expresses an interest in moving to Eretz Yisrael, the other one refuses to go along, the other one wants to stay behind, where they've been living, where the whole family lives, so the one who refuses to go to Eretz Yisrael is the one who is responsible for ruining the marriage. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos, that's on the Marmekaymes, page 3, the Rambam and the Ramban are both working on the premise that there are 613 mitzvahs that are divided into two categories, 248 mitzvahs aseh and 365 mitzvahs lo aseh. So this is based on the Gemara and different Midrashim. But the Rambam has one listing, and then the Ramban deletes some of the mitzvahs that the Rambam thinks should be counted, and he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. And there are others who disagree with the Rambam and the Ramban, so they delete additional mitzvahs and they replace them with other mitzvahs. But everybody comes up to the same sum total of 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs aseh, and 365 mitzvahs lo aseh. So the Ramban has at the end of the section of the mitzvahs aseh of the Rambam, he's already deleted around 16, 17 mitzvahs aseh. So he has to replace them with a different 16, 17 mitzvahs aseh. And then at the end of the lo aseh, so after deleting also about 15, between 15 and 20 mitzvahs lo aseh, so he has to replace them. So on the third page in the Marmekaymes, the Ramban has the hashmatas to the minyan hamitzvahs, mitzvah dalet. So he says there is a mitzvah. The pasuk says in the end, the chumash bamidvar. There's a mitzvah that we should establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So we spoke last time, the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam also counts. Mitzvah levanas lehem melech. But the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam failed to count. So that's the Ramban's taina. He thinks that that should be counted as a mitzvah saseh. How come the Rambam taka doesn't count it as a mitzvah saseh? What's the explanation for the Shita Sarambam? So some Achrayim suggest, here on the Marmekaymes, page 4, if you look on the bottom of the first column there, there is a sefer called Ara de Rabbanon. It's by one of the Gedolim from the Al-Ghazi family in the 1700s. Interesting, the Jews were just beginning to write encyclopedias with halacha topics alphabetically arranged. In the 1700s, the Mishnayos is not alphabetically arranged. The Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch is not alphabetically arranged. But this is one of the earliest Svarim. The Ad Malachi is alphabetically arranged. Several other Svarim from the 1700s. The Chido has a lot of Svarim from the 1700s alphabetically arranged. So this is a Sefer Ara de Rabbanon, where the author deals with 1,000 topics from the Gemara. And each topic he tries to ascertain whether this is a din min haTorah or a din min haRabbanon. Usually a case where the Gemara has a machlokes, or the Tanoim have, or the Rishonim, or the Achronim have, so he'll always discuss who says that is the Reish and who says Rabbanon b'kitzah. He just gives you the kitzah. So Reish Tzadik Zayin, every paragraph has a number, and it goes alphabetically. So under the letter Yud, he has the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Is this a mitzvah min haTorah or a mitzvah min haRabbanon? So he says, the Ramban obviously thinks that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, and that's why he thinks it should be included in the counting of the 613 mitzvahs. How come the Rambam doesn't count it? So he quotes the Knesset HaGdolah in Yerideis and Reish Lamedes, says that according to the Rambam, the reason why he didn't count it is because it's only a mitzvah of the Rabbanim. But it says in the Chumash, we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. That was a Hirah Shoah. That was only in the first generation, the Dor HaMidbar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Ribbono Shel promised he's going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. So what are we going to do? We're going to give the Ribbono Shel a hard time. We're not going to let him bring us into Eretz Yisrael. We have to go easy on him and let him bring us into Eretz Yisrael. But once he brought us in, we can, if they send us into Golas, so the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah no longer applies. It's only Hara Shoah that applied only to the Dor HaMidbar. This is how the Knesset HaGdolah parenthesis the Rambam. Then he says all the others think that it's not correct. They assume that the Rambam would not say such a wild idea, that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only with the Rabbanan, and the Psukim and Chumash are only Hara Shoah. It's hard to believe. So many other Achreinim Amayashiv the Rambam differently. Why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? So some point out as follows. If you look in the Rambam on page 5, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which has two parts. First, he gives you what he considers the 14 Sharoshim, the 14 Klolim, the 14 guiding principles that determine what should be included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, what should not be included. And after he lays down the 14 foundations, then he goes ahead to list off what he thinks are the 613 mitzvahs, the Ramach Mitzvahs Asei, and the Shasam Mitzvahs Lo Asei. So this is the Sefer HaMitzvahs. In each mitzvah, he gives you a thumbnail description, a short paragraph, a long paragraph, whatever. And then he gives you the Minyan HaMitzvahs Bekitzer. On page 5 is the abridged form, which was written by the Rambam himself, the abridged form of his Sefer HaMitzvahs, and this is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, to the Arach HaZoker. And then the Rambam, in every section, like in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, so the Rambam says, this is Hilchos Shabbos, and there are two mitzvahs in the Chumash, and there are two mitzvahs in the Sefer Yeshaya, Kibud V'Yoinik. The Chumash, you have Zocha V'Shomer, and in this section of Hilchos Shabbos, he's going to explain those two mitzvahs. Then Hilchos Pesach, he says there are 15 mitzvahs, matzah, morah, korban, pesach, whatever. This section is going to explain these mitzvahs. And then Hilchos, every section, Hilchos Yantav, he tells you there are 10 mitzvahs over here, and he's going to elaborate on the 10 mitzvahs, so that the whole Mishnah Torah, the whole Yarech HaZokah, is really an elaboration on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Sefer HaMitzvahs is the outline. He lists off which are the 613 mitzvahs. And the Torah tells us the mitzvah to learn, there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So the mitzvah is to learn all of the 613 mitzvahs with all the details. And the Rambam starts off, which are the 613 mitzvahs that we're supposed to learn about? He gives you the introduction, Sefer HaMitzvahs, the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. And then he goes ahead and gives you all the elaborations, all the details regarding, that's what learning Torah is all about. A lot of people learning yeshivas, they already forgot what learning Torah is about. Learning Torah means to learn all the mitzvahs of Torah, to know which are the 613 mitzvahs, and to know all the details of the halachas, not some to philosophize and to kler chakiris. The Gemara makes fun of people of kler chakiris. The Gemara says that Doeg HaDomi used to like the kler chakiris. Doeg HaDomi was a great goyin who was ein lachelik v'olamah in Tanakh. He gave David HaMelech a hard time. David HaMelech was cursing him. He was so angry and he didn't want David HaMelech to become the Melech Yisrael. So the Gemara says, this Doeg HaDomi was a great goyin, a Gebal Mechadesh, and he knew Kol HaTorah, he knew everything that there was to know. But he was terrible. So the Gemara says, because he took learning like a game, it was a lot of fun by him. And he made 400 chakiris, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, what's a revusa to make chakiris? It's a godless to make chakiris. The thing is that you have to have, the Gemara says, Rachmana Liba boy, the Gemara says. Usually we say, Rachmana Liba boy, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants we should have a good heart in davening Rachmana Liba boy, in fulfilling mitzvahs, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to have a heart. Here the Gemara says, Rachmana Liba boy, in learning Torah. The Gemara says that Deikai Daimi, his learning was all min asaf velachutz. It was all external. It didn't affect his heart. The main thing in learning is it has to affect your heart. So that's what learning is all about. You're supposed to know which are the mitzvahs, which are the 613 mitzvahs. What are all the details of the halachas? And once in a while, you have a chakira. Once in a while, you're not sure what the detail is. So here in the Rambam, in the short version, you can just as well look on the long version, same thing. Mitzvah Vav, the Rambam has Ledovka Bo Shenema Ovoi Sidbok. This is one of the 248 mitzvahs I say, to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So several of the Achreinim say that the Rambam didn't consider the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as an independent mitzvah, he feels it is just an aspect of the mitzvah of Ovosidbok, because the Gemara says on that daf that we started to look at in Ksubis, in the first page of the Mar Mikraimus, so that Gemara following that Mishnah in the end of Ksubis speaks about the Hashivas of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has about 8 lines from the bottom of the page, of page 1. That's Kuf Yudam and Beis and Ksubis. Tana Rabbanon, there is a Tosefta and Avodah Zorah. Liolam Yadar Adam be'Eretz Yisrael, a person should choose to live in Eretz Yisrael, even if the alternative is Afil Biyav Sheruba Obdi Kechovim. Even it's preferable to live in a city in Eretz Yisrael where the majority of the population are non-Jews who worship Avodah Zorah, as opposed to living rather than to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, even if you live in a community where the majority of the population are religious Jews. Why is it preferable to live in Eretz Yisrael in a community where the majority of the population are non-Jews? Because shekol hador be'Eretz Yisrael dama kimi sheyesh lo elokah, whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael is considered as if he has a god. V'chol hador b'chutz lots, a Jew lives outside Eretz Yisrael dama, it's considered kimi she'ein lo elokah. Shenema, the Gemara quotes Pesukim to that effect. And it says, regarding Dovin HaMelech, Ki Gershuni Hayom, they've chased me away from Eretz Yisrael, Mis Tapech Menachlas Hashem. He was running away from his enemies, they chased him out of Eretz Yisrael, and they told him, go to Chutzlodz Leimar Lech Avod Elohim Achem. Who told them to worship Avod Ezor? They chased them out of Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, whoever leaves Eretz Yisrael, Chi Miyomamol Ledovid Lech Avod Avod Eskochom, who told them to worship Avod Ezor? And Leloi Malach, the answer is, since they were pressuring David that he should leave Eretz Yisrael, Kol Hador B'chutz Lotz Kilo Abed Abed Eskoham. Why is this so? So we usually assume, based on the Gemara in the first parak in Kainis, the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Chumash that says, Eretz HaShe'eni Hashem Alakecha Bo Mireshes Hashana Banach Rishana, that there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lotz. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give Hashgacha Pratis B'shoveh over the whole world. Those who are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Karav Hashem L'chol Karav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to those who are closer to Him. So the Rambam has a whole essay about this in Mor Nevuchim. He writes that there's more Hashgacha Pratis on the Tzadikim than there is on the Beinonim, and there's more Hashgacha Pratis on the Beinonim than there is on the Rishoyim. So we assume, generally speaking, there's more Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael than there is on the Yomus Ha'olam. And the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, there's even more Hashgacha Pratis on them than on the Bnei Yisrael who live in Chutz Lord. So if you have a mitzvah, Uvo Sidbok, we should try to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does one, so the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eish Eich Lehu. So how can you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it means specific things. So what does it mean? So one of the things that it means is that one should live in Eretz Yisrael. So many Achrenim say the Rambam didn't have to count the mitzvah of living. The Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah in HaTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's doichik to say that all the psukim that say you should move to Eretz Yisrael is only for the Dor HaMidbar. It's only HaRosh Shor for the Dor HaMidbar to allow the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to fulfill His promise. Ve'heves Yeschem El Hor. It's very not mistaber. It sounds like the whole thrust of the whole Chumash from the beginning to the end is that all the Jews should move to Eretz Yisrael and live there. So why didn't the Rambam count it as a separate mitzvah? Because it doesn't belong as a separate mitzvah. It's an aspect of the mitzvah of Avos Sidbok. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael will because there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a way of becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch. That's what many Achrenim say. Other Achrenim point out that if you look a little further in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs Asei Kuf Pei Zayin, so the Rambam counts as one of the, that's on page 6 in the Mar Mikraimus. This is the abridged form. You can just as well look in the long version, but this gives you bekitza the same thing. So the Rambam counts, Hachrim Tachrimim is one of the 248 mitzvahs I say. There is a mitzvah, La'abed Zayin Amimim Eretz Yisrael, to wipe out the Knani, Achiti, Amor, Apizu, Ayusu, Agigoshi, all of the 7 nations who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer develops a whole theme. He has other kashas on the Rambam. The Avnei Nezer has a long tshuva about this. The Avnei Nezer lived at the beginning of the Zionist movement, when people were moving from Europe to establish colonies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer was Achsidus Rebbe. So he was asked, the shayla that they asked him was, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And the second half of the shayla is, and if there is a mitzvah, how come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? Because he was a Chassidus Rebbe, so the Chassidim were asking him the Shaila. So that was the topic. The fact that all the Tzaddikim, all the Chassidus Tzaddikim didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, isn't that an indication that there's no mitzvah? So he says, yes, there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh. So he has to explain how come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't go. So in his long dissertation, he has to explain why didn't the Rambam count it. So he starts off, the Rambam says that is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Fine, but the Rambam didn't count it. So should we assume the Rambam thinks that it's only a mitzvah, but the Rabbanah thinks that's a joke? The Rambam also agrees that it's a mitzvah and not a Torah. So why didn't he count it as a separate mitzvah? So the Avnei Nezer writes, there are several other problems with the Rambam. Why the Rambam didn't count the other mitzvahs? And he quotes that one of the commentaries, and there are quite a few Sforim that were written as commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam to explain the ins and the outs. How did the Rambam decide what should be counted? How did the Rambam decide what should not be counted? So one of the many Sforim that's written on the Sefer HaMitzvahs is a Sefer called Mayoni HaChochma, by a recent Gadol from 150 years ago, soon before the Avnei Nezer's time. Avnei Nezer must have died 85 years ago or so, in the early 1900s. So the one who wrote this Sefer Mayon HaChach must have lived 50 years before, in the 1850s or so. So the Mayon HaChach answers a different kasha. Why didn't the Rambam count the certain mitzvahs? So he says, the Rambam seems to have had the following policy. Whenever you have a mitzvah that is for the purpose of leading up to another mitzvah, so it doesn't make sense to count both of the mitzvahs. Do this in order to accomplish this result. So you don't count both, that's going to be a kefil. You're just repeating the same mitzvah twice. So the Rambam is only going to count the first one, he's not going to count the second one. So that's how the Mayani HaChachma answers a different kasha. So the Avnei Nezer quotes that from the Sefer Mayani HaChachma, and he says that he's right, he shows that it answers another difficult Rambam. And he says, and that's the reason why the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. There is a mitzvah to wipe out the Zionists. So imagine, the Jews are going to come with the armies under Yeshua ben Nun. They're going to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, wipe out all the Zionists, men, women, and children. Then they're going to move back to Borapah. So what's the mitzvah to wipe out the Zionists? What is it for? Obviously, the mitzvah is to wipe out the Zionists in order that we should live in Eretz Yisrael without anybody pulling us towards worshipping Avodah Zarah. Wipe out the Zionums, so it'll be a nice country for you to live in. But it doesn't make any sense to wipe out the Zionums, then move back to Mitzrayim, then move back to Chutz Laaretz. It doesn't make any sense. So that's the reason why the Rambam didn't count it as a separate mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a repeat of mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin. The Rambam counted it already. That's what many write. Others suggest a different answer. Why the Rambam didn't? The Rambam thinks also it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. No one wants to accept what the Knesset HaGedolah suggested. What the Arad Rabbanon quoted from the Knesset HaGedolah, that the Rambam's position is that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only the Rabbanon. Very not mistaber. From the whole thrust of the whole Chumash, from the whole Mishnah, the Rambam quotes that Mishnah in the end of Ksuvah Daf Kuf Yudim and Beis, that there's a mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah with the Rabbanon. Very not b'mashma. So a third suggestion that they give on the Rambam, why the Rambam doesn't count it, is based on the Ramban. There is a famous comment that the Ramban makes on Chumash, commenting on Rashi. It says in the Kriya Shema, and the second parsha in Shema, B'Hoyoyim Shemoah, so it says, if we will worship Avodah Zarah Chalila, and God will punish us, and He will send us into Golos, Avadat Mehera Me'al Ha'oretz HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us into Golos because of our sins. So it says that we should still lake tefillin, and we should put our mezuzahs on the doorposts. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim and the Sifrei, even though we are sent into Golus, we should still continue to observe the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah. Why? Why? So the Tanoim say, so that when we will return back to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the Golus period, we won't be startled, we won't be stunned when it's time to fulfill the mitzvahs. So the Ramban points out, all of the commentaries point out, what do you mean? There are two categories of mitzvahs. There are chayvus haguf and chayvus karka. The Mishnah says in Kiddushin, towards the end of the first parak, chayvus haguf are obligations that one is obligated to keep. Shabbos, kashrus, taras hamishpach has nothing to do with agriculture. Doesn't matter whether you're a farmer or not. That's chayvus haguf, a chayvo, and the guf ha'odom. So the Mishnah says, whatever is a chayvus haguf, chayvus gavra, is naik bein boiz bein mechutzlo. So it applies equally whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or chutzlo. Whatever is a chayvus karka, A mitzvah hatlui bar, it's an agricultural mitzvah, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the laws of Shemitah and Yovel and Shumas and Maisus and Leket, Shikra, Peya, etc., all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So if Rashi would have quoted from the Tanoim, even after you go into Golus, you should observe Challah. Take for example, Challah min HaTorah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But we in America are Mafresh Challah. So this is a Takana Midrabbanan that's recorded in Mishnayis Challah, the Maseches Challah that has four prokem in Mishnayis. And the reason why the Tanoim instituted it is that the Jews are in Golus for so many years, we're going to forget the whole concept of Challah. So Kalei Shalot Ishtakach Mitzvah Challah, we shouldn't forget that there's a mitzvah in the Torah. They made a Takana, the Jews all over the world have to be Mafresh Challah. The Chachamim made a takana with the Rabbanan that the Jews who live in the countries bordering Eretz Yisrael, Aratzis HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael, have to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisus mid the Rabbanan. The Balei HaTesis, right, we live in France and Germany, they lived so far away, the countries in Europe didn't, where the Jews lived, didn't border on Eretz Yisrael, so the Chachamim never introduced, they never introduced the mitzvahs, the Trumas and Maisus mid the Rabbanan by Aratzis HaRechoikis in Eretz Yisrael, only Aratzis HaSmuchas. So if Rashi would have quoted from the Tanoim that you should continue to observe the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvahs and chutz la'aretz, you should still observe it so that when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, you won't be startled, it won't be something new, it won't hit you like something from outer space, so we would understand it. But that Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi is commenting on the pasuk in V'hayoyim Shemaya. It says, V'avadetere v'heira me'al ha'aretz ha'toyva. Kodesh Baruch Hu got to send us into Golus. And then it says, you should wear tefillin and you should put mezuzah. So the Tanoi made a comment on tefillin and mezuzah. The reason why we should continue to wear tefillin and mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz is that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we shouldn't be stunned. We shouldn't be shocked. What do you mean? It's a biblical obligation. It's not midrabanan. The same level of obligation applies to observe tefillin and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. What kind of a comment is this? So Ramban has this famous comment that he repeats several times in his commentary on Chumash, that the Iker place for Shmiras on mitzvahs is really Eretz Yisrael. The agriculture mitzvahs, that's not the Iker place, that's the only place. Min HaTorah, the agriculture mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And it's only with the Rabbanon that they introduce the agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that plays both even in Chutz La'aretz. But even the mitzvahs that are Chayvus HaGuf, that are Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, and even Gili HaRais and so on, the Iker place for the Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Tanoim said, that even tefillin and mezuzah, which were obligated to observe biblically in Chutz La'aretz, is only on a second level of importance of observance. The real place, the more correct place to fulfill even tefillin and mezuzah, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, is really in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what many Acharonim say. The Rambam is masking with the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he feels that it doesn't deserve to be counted as a separate mitzvah. It's just an enhancement of each and every one of the 613 mitzvahs. It says you have to observe Shabbos. If you observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, that's more of an observance of Shabbos. You have to sit in Sukkah. If you sit in Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, it's a bigger mitzvah. You have to keep kosher. You have to observe Taras HaMishpacha. If you keep kosher and Taras HaMishpacha in Eretz Yisrael, it's more meaningful. Because the main place for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So these are three suggestions that the various Achrenim gave, why the Rambam really agrees with the Ramban that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is a biblical mitzvah, but he holds for some reason or another it should not be counted as a separate mitzvah, either because it falls under the category of Ovosidbok, it's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in Eretz Yisrael there's more Hashgacha Prot, it's called Ador Beretz Yisrael Kilo Yesh Lo Eloka, Kol Ador B'chutz La'aretz Kilo Ein Lo Eloka. Or because it's the purpose of the mitzvah hachrim tachrimim. You should wipe out the Zayin Umas in order that Eretz Yisrael should be available for you to live there. So it's self-understood that it's part of that mitzvah. Or perhaps it's an enhancement of each and every individual mitzvah. These are three of the suggestions. There was a famous Rav in Hungary, Rabbi Socha Teichtal, who was killed by the Nazis in the middle of the war. In the middle of the 1940s, so many of the Rabbanim in Hungary were against the Zionist movement. Because the Munkacher Rav was very opposed to the Zionist movement. He was always cursing the Minchas Olozi. He was always cursing the Zionists. It's unbelievable. There's people still alive who remember the drushes that he gave, such fiery drushes. was such a klalis that he used to give. And he has in his forum also, it's unbelievable, all of his tshuvas are very beautiful, very calm, except for the tshuvas about Zionism. He goes, mamish, you see that is something that was, he had a very strong negiyah against Zionism. He goes, legamri, not at all the style of writing that he writes all the other tshuvas. And he writes in one tshuva, he writes a very strange thing, and he didn't live to the Second World War, this Minchas Aluza. So he lived through the First World War. So there was a suggestion that was made that maybe they should be Goyza Tainis. Maybe the Rabbonim should be Goyza Tainis, that the war should end. So he gives a whole explanation why it doesn't make sense. So he, part of his explanation is, in order to be Goyza Tainis Tzibur, the purpose of a Tainis is that the people should do tshuva. So a Tainis Tzibur only makes sense if there's going to be tshuva Satzibur. So he says, who's going to do tshuva? He says, the Zionists. There's nothing to discuss. The Zionists are not going to do tshuva. Then he says, the Mizrahi is worse than the Zionists. The Aguda, that's worse than the Mizrahi. We don't have to do any tshuva. We didn't do anything wrong. So everything in the world just revolves about Zionism. And the Zionists are bad, and those who make believe that they're religious Zionists, they're worse than the worst. Such a strange tshuva. So author of this great Hungarian Gaon, he was a great Gaon, this Rabbi Socha Teichtal. So he was also, he went along with the whole sheet of the Hungarian Rabbanim to be opposed to Zionism. Then in the middle of the war, when the Nazis were killing so many Jews, he realized, what a mishigas, what are we opposed to Zionism? If we would have all gone there itself, we would have all been alive. And would have made a nice Jewish Medina there in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a whole sefer that's called Eim Abonim Smecha. All about Eim Abonim Smecha means that Eretz Yisrael is the mother. When all of the children come back to Eretz Yisrael, so the mother, the Mama Land, is very happy. He wrote a whole sefer about the mistake that he made, that they were making, why they opposed Zionism as a mistake. They should have supported Zionism. And he quotes many Mamari Chazal, every Mamari Chazal in creation he quotes. And soon after, he was also killed by the Nazis in Budapest, I think. So the Sefer was originally printed in Hungary, and then I think the family bought up all the copies. They were dead in Paris. Why he became an apikoros, Lasik Nusay. So several years ago, about 35 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, they got copies. There weren't too many left. They got copies of the Sefer, and they reprinted it in a fancy edition, and they put in all the marmukhanis, because the author wrote the whole Sefer from memory. He wrote the whole Sefer from Zikaron. He gives long quotations from every Sefer in creation, everything. So once in a while he's a little off. Once in a while his adaf is off, or a couple of words are off. But the whole Sefer was written from memory. It's a fantastic Sefer. So part of his Sefer is that he gives all of these various explanations. He also thinks that the Rambam must agree with the Ramban, that it's a mitzvah and a Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And for various reasons, the Rambam held that it doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, but he also maskim in the Ramban that there is such a mitzvah. The Shaila is, what is the nature of this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? So some Achrayim refer you to this Gemara on page 8 in the Marmot Kormos, where the Gemara, this is a famous Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Soita, where the Gemara is wondering on the last narrow line before you get to the wide lines. Dorash Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi made a comment. Mipnei ma nis'ave Moshe Rabbeinu likonis le'eretz Yisrael. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu so desirous of entering Eretz Yisrael that he was pleading with the Rebbeinu Shalom v'aschanan al Hashem, he should ebron aviyere, he should let him enter Eretz Yisrael. Was him arayin in Leb Mazoi? That he wanted to go v'chilecho mipiryu hutzorach al lizboa mituvu hutzorach. Why he wanted to have a good time there to enjoy hanos oilam hazeh? Want to sit and go swimming there in the Ginoiser. What did he want? Elakachom Moshe. Harbi, the cheshbon was, Harbi mitzvahs nitztavi Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many mitzvahs. The mitzvahs hatliyas boros, the agricultural mitzvahs, famous kaimim hela b'Eretz Yisrael. There's so many mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. The tzitzis and the tefillin and the kriyashma and the sukkah and the lulav that you can fulfill outside of Eretz Yisrael. That Moshe Rabbeinu did fulfill. But there's so many agricultural mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. So he felt bad, and he was mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ekonos ani lo'or. So if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not mechuyev. let's say, my first child is a girl, and I don't plan to remarry, I'm happily married with my wife, so I've never had the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of pigging up bed. You know, mechuyev, let's say a fellow sleeps in the park, so he doesn't have a mitzvah of mezuzah. Or, at my house, we don't have a roof that's used, so there's no mitzvah of makah. Mitzvah of makah is only if you have a house, and you have a roof that's being used, so you have an obligation to put up a makah. So are you mechuyev? I'm mechuyev to buy a house that has a roof that's being used in order to have a makah? Not really. You're not mechuyev to. Let's say, for example, there is a mitzvah to put tzitzis on a four-corner garment that you're wearing. What if in America nobody wears four-corner garments? So strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So here the Gemara says the same is true regarding Shemitah, Yovel, Leket, Shikra, Peah, Trumas, and Maisvis, all of the agricultural mitzvahs. If one isn't living in Eretz Yisrael, if you do live in Eretz Yisrael, but you're not a farmer, so you don't have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah. Nisht is nisht. You don't have the opportunity. So Moshe Rabbeinu given achosid. Moshe Rabbeinu loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. He was yearning to live in Eretz Yisrael in order to become obligated to fulfill these mitzvahs. That's what he says. Ekonis anila oretz. That's what it says on the second white line. Moshe Rabbeinu was nesaveh. He desired very much to move to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted ekonis anila oretz. Kadesh is kamukulam al yodi. He wanted very much to have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvahs. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, I'm not going to let you. Okay. It's based on this Gemara that the Baalei HaTosfos recommend the practice that we have, that we go out of our way, we go to the store, we buy a talus, or we buy an arba kamtzis, in order to become obligated to wear tzitzis. If you're not wearing a four-corner garment, you're not mechuyev to wear tzitzis. So we go out of our way to buy a four-corner garment, even though in America that's not normally sold in the stores. The goyim don't wear four-corner garments. We go out of our way, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, in order to buy a four-corner garment, in order to be obligated to put on tzitzis, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. And then other Baalei HaTosfos say, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. If a person, halavai, a person will be on Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, so then he'll let him go buy an arba kamtzis to put on tzitzis. Who's on the Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu? Yechidei Sgula on that Madrega. It's not the normal person. So this is the whole source, this Gemara is the whole source of the institution that we have, that we buy a talus, and we buy an arba kamtzis in order to put on the tzitzis. So from this Gemara, the Achronim point out it would appear that there is no independent mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. It would appear that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is only a hechsher mitzvah. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, this enables you to fulfill the mitzvah of tliyas bar. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's nish, like having the firstborn baby will be a boy. If you have the firstborn child is a boy, then you have a mitzvah to do a pidyon haben. If you only have girls, so you have no pidyon haben, you have the mitzvah lamalos haben. Nisht is nisht. If you have a son, so you have a mitzvah to do a bris. So here also, it sounds from the Gemara, why do they say, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so desirous of living in Eretz Yisrael? They should have given the answer, because it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What do they beat around the bush in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Tlis Bort? So it would appear as if living in Eretz Yisrael per se is not an independent mitzvah. It's only a heksha mitzvah that leads up to the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Tlis Bort. Others disagree and they say they find it hard to believe. That pasuk in the end of Chumash Bamidbar that the Ramban quoted in Mitzvah Sesei Dalet V'harashtem Esaretz V'yishavtem Bo, that you should seize hold, Jews have an obligation to take hold of all of Eretz Yisrael, to establish a Jewish government there, and then we have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is in order to be able to fulfill a mitzvah Satli's Lord. It doesn't say a word about that. In the end of Chumash Bamidbar, it doesn't talk about mitzvah Satli's Lord. That's another place in Chumash. From the Chumash, it would appear as if it's an independent mitzvah. So why does the Gemara beat around the bush when Rabbi Simloi asks, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so desirous of living in Eretz Yisrael? Should have said, because of the mitzvah, to live in Eretz Yisrael. Why do they have to say because of the mitzvah Satli's Lord? How do you deal with this Gemara? So some of the Achrayim suggest, based on what we said earlier, that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is really the fulfillment of a vosidbo. That's a way to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some say, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't need this gimmick. He didn't have to live in Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill a vosidbo. He was Moshe Rabbeinu, he was very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he already was in fulfillment of a vosidbo. Nothing would be added by him. By the Hamoinam, so if a person lives in America and he moves to Eretz Yisrael, So it's ki'ilu yesh lo alaka. When he was living in Chutzla, ki'ilu ein lo alaka. But one who's on the Madrega, like Moshe Rabbeinu, is already in fulfillment of a voice sid, but he doesn't need Eretz Yisrael to enable him to fulfill this mitzvah. It's a problematic answer. It's a difficult answer. The Gemara is problematic. From this Gemara, it sounds as if the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah. It's only as a hechsher mitzvah to enable one to fulfill the mitzvah of Tlius Baretz. It is a problematic Gemara. Although the Rambam does not count as one of the 613 mitzvahs, this mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, he does quote all the dinim. That's what leads all of the Achrenim to assume that the Pashta says that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban, that it is a mitzvah, just belongs under some other heading. So the Rambam on page 9 in the Maamar Koimos, the Rambam quotes many of the passages from the Gemara. And in Halacha Tes, the Rambam says that one has a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, you're only permitted to leave Lil Matayra Oliso Isha V'chein Yetzihu L'schora for business a little bit. You're not allowed to live in Chutzlarts unless Elim Ken Chazak Sham Hara'ov Achenasa Shava Diner Chita Mishnei Dinar. If the food is so expensive that you simply it's a year of famine and you just can't make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. If you can't make a parnasa, you're going to have to live off of tzedakah, then there's no mitzvah. That Mishnah in the end of Ksubis, where it says the husband and the wife are married, and one of them insists they want to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the other one doesn't want to move, so the one who insists they want to move has the gerech detaina, and then the other one is considered responsible for breaking up the marriage. So that Mishnah is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. So it's interesting, this mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael appears in Eben Ezra. It should have been somewhere else. But because the whole sugi appears in the end of Ksubis in the context of the couple getting divorced, and the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerech detaina, and the one who wants to stay behind is considered as having the incorrect position, so that's where it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So the Pischi Tshuva there in Eben Ezra, when this siman is quoted, says, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Hashteitzach only applies if the person can make a parnasa. Let's say the person has a job in Chutzlos. If he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he'll have to live off of tzedakah. So he does an ishkin mitzvah. To live in Eretz Yisrael means only if he can make a parnasa. So that's a Gemara. And that's what the Rambam quotes over here. In Perek Hei, in Hilchus Malachim, Halacha Tes, that's in page 9 in the Maamar Koimos. So he says, Chein Elam Ken Chazak Sham Harov, if there's a famine, And it's terrible. You just can't make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. There's no food to eat. Then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Or the Rambam started off on the second line. Lil Matara Alisa Isha. Let's say a person, if they live in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have to settle to learn in this second rate yeshiva. He has to learn in Lakewood. He has to learn in MTJ, whatever. He has a hot set. Either a million and one yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't like the Derech Halima in those yeshivas. He dafka likes it. And Lakewood, he dafka likes it in this yeshiva and chutzlah. So what can you do? A person who enjoys learning, if he's not going to learn the way he enjoys it, is going to be miserable, he's going to be unhappy, or he fell in love with a certain girl. There are a million and one girls in Eretz Yisrael. What's that, the Zongazetz? Why does he have to marry this girl who wants to live in America? That's it. He fell in love with this girl. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, that a person is only obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael if it's a reasonable option. He can either live in Eretz Yisrael or Chutzlar to choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if a choice, it's not really a fair choice. If he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have to compromise and marry the girl that he doesn't really love so much. His heart is set on marrying this girl. If he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have to learn in a yeshiva. He's not going to be happy. And learning, for people interested in learning, is something very crucial to their lives. So that's like a shnas rov, if there's a famine. And the guy's going to have to live off of tzedakah. So that's a nishkin mitzvah, to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's only if it's a reasonable option. I remember many years ago, about 10 years ago, I was going by plane, happened to be at someone's wedding, I think, in Los Angeles. I was going from Los Angeles on an El Al plane to New York and then going on to Eretz Yisrael to visit Eretz Yisrael. So there was a fellow walking down the aisle who was, must have been walking to the restroom in the back. He looked very familiar. He was wearing a yarmulke and he was wearing tight jeans and he was wearing sneakers without any socks on. He looked very familiar. I didn't know how to place him. So then, 3 minutes later, he starts walking back to his seat. So he sees me. So he says, "Hi, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe," and he tells me who he is. He had learned in my shiur 25 years earlier. So I didn't recognize him. I recognized the face. So he tells me he was a radiologist in Los Angeles for many years, and he did very well. He told me something like he made up $2 million a year. I can't even count so high. Made up to $2 million a year. And now he and his wife and his children moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they live in Savion. All the poor people live in Savion. And he only makes $500,000 a year. And his wife can't get used to living in poverty. So he's going to have to move back to Eretz Yisrael. So I was going to take out a $10 bill and give him money to buy a pair of socks. Never, he was wearing these Tirisina jeans and sneakers without any socks. So that's a little ridiculous. He can't make a parnasa. He can't live on $500,000 a year in Eretz Yisrael. What's it? But the principle is a correct principle. The halacha, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's a reasonable choice. If it's an unreasonable choice, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Pischi Tshuva writes in Eben Ezra. When the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Mishnah, the very last Mishnah in Ksubis, the Pischi Tshuva says, if you have a parnas in Chutzal, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you won't have a parnas, so does an ishke mitzvah. And that's based on this Rambam. The Rambam was quoting a Gemara in Bava Basra, that if it's a shnas ro'ov, if chazak ro'ov, if it's a terrible famine, then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's on the same thing, little matar v'lisish, then it's not really a fair, it's not really considered a fair choice. There was a period of time that Rav Chaim Eiser was interested. Chaim Eiser died in the summer of 1940, I think. So there was a time that he was quite a few years, he was very interested in moving to Eretz Yisrael. So here there are two letters, if you look at the end, on page 16 and page 17 of the Mar Mekaymus, there's on page 16 in the Mar Mekaymus, this is a collection of letters of Rav Chaim Eiser. Rav Chaim Eiser wrote, published during his lifetime, 3 volumes of Shalos Teshuvos called the Achiezer. And after he passed away, so in Bnei Barak, they put together a collection of about 400 additional letters. Some of them have Divrei Torah, some of them have politics and other things, some of them are not really Tshuvos, but very interesting letters. And in recent years, they published an additional 600 letters. They reprinted the 400 from Bnei Barak with an additional 600, approximately 1,000 letters. So here there are 2 letters about his interest in moving to Eretz Yisrael. So here on page 16 in the Mar Mekaymus, you have the letter Ayin Reish Hei. This is a letter that was sent to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Tar Pei Zayin. When was Tar Pei Zayin? That was 1937. Then the next letter was written 1927. And then the next letter on page 17 was written Tar Tzadik Gimel. That was 1933. The second letter was written to Rav Kook. So the first letter to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he writes, he always had a desire to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he was considering going to Eretz Yisrael together with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was going to go. Here on the top of page 17, he says, Eshtakad, last year, when the Chofetz Chaim was prepared, Nochen Hoyel and Sol, Eretz HaKodesh, Chofetz Chaim was preparing to go to Eretz Yisrael, he was going to go with him, and then they insisted his Mekurovim told him that he should stay behind. So then he writes in the next letter, a few years later, 5 years later, that Rav Kook was preparing, he prepared a home for Rav Chaim Eiser in Eretz Yisrael. They were preparing to buy a home for him. He was going to move to Eretz Yisrael. He was going to be appointed to the, Rav Kook was the chief rabbi, so apparently he wasn't prepared to step down. Rav Chaim Eiser wasn't prepared to take over. He was already an older person. Rav Chaim Eiser wasn't prepared to take the position of chief rabbi. So they were going to give Rav Chaim Eiser the honor title of Reish Galusa. living in Eretz Yisrael. When he was in Vilna, he wasn't called Reish Galusa. He was going to move to Eretz Yisrael, they were going to call him the Reish Galusa. And he was going to function in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes that in the second paragraph, he cannot hide from Rav Kook his desire, Kama Shonim. The idea was knocking around in his mind for many years about living in Eretz Yisrael. He desired very much. He could never come to a conclusion. And although he was almost about to clinch the deal to move to Eretz Yisrael and live in the home that Rav Kook had chosen for him and take this title, he says it was brought to his attention the tshuva of the Maharam Shik. The Maharam Shik lived in Hungary. Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. That was at the beginning of the Reform Movement. So the Maharam Shik had a Talmud who was a rabbi in Hungary, and his main preoccupation was fighting Reform. So he didn't enjoy that. The Talmud would have rather enjoyed sitting and learning and paskin and shas, giving a daf yomi shiur, shiurim for men, for women, for children, whatever. He wanted to learn. He wasn't interested in fighting Reform. But he was very successful in fighting Reform. So it's interesting. In the late 1800s, he was offered a position at Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael. Talmud of Maharam Shik was offered Rabbanus to sit ala terav ala vayda. No more fighting Reform. So he packed up all his things and he's running. He's running to Eretz Yisrael. Let someone else take over the Rabbanus in Hungary. So he sent a letter to his Rebbe, the Maharam Shik, asking him for a bracha on his move. The Maharam Shik wrote him a letter. I can't give you a bracha because I think you're doing keneged hadin. The halacha says you're not allowed to leave your Rabbanus. So he writes to him, when you were learning in the army of Rabbanim who are fighting, and the army in the sense that they're all in Hungary, they're all fighting Reform. They said, we really had no right to draft you, but you volunteered, and you turned out to be a very successful general in the army. You're very successful fighting Reform, so you're doing this big mitzvah now. Now you decided you want to leave behind this mitzvah, you want to do another mitzvah instead, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, we have a din ha'isik the mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. If a person is busy doing one mitzvah, this exempts him from fulfilling another mitzvah. And the Maharam Shik quotes the Ritva in Sukkah at the end of the second perek, that since you're exempt from fulfilling the second mitzvah, so it's considered a dvar hashus, and you're not permitted to, not only hoisik the mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah, it's prohibited to be mafsik in the middle of the mitzvah in order to do the other mitzvah. It's like stopping a mitzvah to do something that's not a mitzvah. A guy is in the middle of doing a mitzvah, he stops, he never finishes the mitzvah, and he does a dvar hashus. So you're not allowed to do that. So he says, we really had no right to draft you in the first place to make you go into the rabbinate and fight Reform, but you volunteered on your own to join, and you're doing a good job in the rabbinate. So he said, get them out paskin up, that he's not allowed to, you pack your big, you want a blessing, I feel I'm not allowed to give you a bracha because you're doing wrong. It's keneged adin. You're not permitted to leave your rabbanus. You have to stay. And then at the tzilta maise, the Maharam Shik, this is the only source of this historical incident, that the Chasam Sofer, his Rebbe, was always interested in moving back to Frankfurt. Chasam Sofer was a Yekke, he wasn't an Ungarische. He was born in Frankfurt, and he always signs his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotmi Frankfurt. Years later, he always signs Moshe HaKotmi Frankfurt. So he was always very desirous of moving back to Frankfurt. He was hoping that someday he'll get a Rabbanus. So, in his old age, he was offered the Rabbanus in Frankfurt. So he was prepared to leave Presburg in Hungary. He wasn't a Hungarian. He wanted to move back to Frankfurt. So he was ready to take it. So as he was about to leave, so the Balabatim from Presburg came to the Chasam Sofer, and they were crying, Rebbe, who's going to fight the Reform? You were so successful. Who knows if the one who takes over after you will be successful? They were pleading with him. So the Chasam Sofer felt that he's not allowed to leave, even though he desired very much to go to Frankfurt. And at that time, it would have been a different kind of a Rabbanus. Much of the Chasam Sofer's efforts and energy were spent on fighting Reform, like this Talmud of the Maharam Shik. But he wasn't interested. The Chasam Sofer wasn't interested in that either. He wanted a different kind of Rabbanus. But he felt he wasn't permitted to leave because the Balabatim impressed upon him that they're afraid the one who would come after him wouldn't be able to. So that's what Rav Chaim Moshe quotes this tshuva from the Maharam Shik, and he says that I was really prepared to retire. He was already an older person. When was this? 1933. He was an older person. He wanted to retire from Vilna. Enough politics and enough involved in everything there. And the Rabbonim in Vilna, in Lithuania, convinced him that he's still crucial for running the scene in Vilna, and they won't be able to succeed without him to the same extent as they would succeed with him. So he writes, he thinks that he's not allowed to leave. This is, for many years, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Livracha, was always opposed to having young Rabbonim or Mechanchim in America leaving Teretz Yisrael to go on Aliyah. And he used to say a Lashon, which I personally thought was a joke. He used to say, the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave until he sees that all of the passengers are safe whenever there's a Sakana, and the general has the responsibility to see to it that all of the soldiers and under his command are taken care of safely. So the Rabbonim in America and the Mechanchim are fighting assimilation, and they're not allowed to leave Teretz Yisrael. They have a responsibility. So I used to think in my heart, what kind of a strange way of talking is that? So many years later, I saw that's what the Maram Shik writes. It's like a quote. He was quoting. I don't know if he's familiar with. I don't know if he read any tshuvas by the Maram Shik. I don't think he did. But that's Mamish the Lashon that the Maram Shik has. He says the Rabbonim who are fighting reform, Rav Soloveitchik thought were fighting assimilation, and in his days they were fighting reform. So he says he's like the captain of his ship, like a general in the army, and they have the responsibility to see to it that all of the people on their ship are led to safety. They're not permitted to leave. It's a striking Lashon. So that's Rav Chaim Moshe quotes that letter to explain why he feels that he's not permitted to leave to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam that we started reading before on page 9 in the Maamar Kaimis quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says when there's a terrible famine in Eretz Yisrael, one is permitted to leave to Chutz Lot because the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael only applies when it's a reasonable option. But if it's unreasonable because the girl that he loves, and he really will be heartbroken if he doesn't marry her, the girl he loves lives in Chutz Lot, or the yeshiva, his rebbe that he wants to learn by lives in Chutz Lot, or there's a famine, so it's an unreasonable option, so then they're not mechuyev to go. So the Rambam writes in the last three lines in that halacha test, very interesting, even though one is permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael if there's a terrible famine, eina midas chasidus. Midas chasidus dictates that you should not leave, despite the fact that it's a shnas rov. Sharei machlam bekilyan shnei gedolei hador hayu. They were the two prominent figures in their generation, and they were punished. They died because they left Eretz Yisrael, even though it says vahiro baretz. Maybe Meshvot Ashaf and Abiro Baris, there was a famine. So strictly speaking, they were permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. But because they were the Gedolei Hador and everybody was looking up to them, so therefore Nischai V'Kloy Olam Rokim, they were punished, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them and they died because they left Eretz Yisrael. Where did the Gemara get this idea that Makla B'Kilyim were the Shnei Gedolei Hador? When you read Megillah Sris, you get the idea that they were Shkotzim, that they married Shiksis, they intermarried. Who says that they were the Gedolei Hador? So if you look on the Pasuk in the beginning of Rus, on page 10 in the Maamar Mekaymis, the second Pasuk says that it was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the two sons were Machla and Mekilya, and then it says Ephrasim, Mebeis Lechem Yehuda. What is the word Ephrasim? What is Ephrasi? The Rashi writes in his commentary, Ephrasim has the connotation of Chashuvim, and the same expression appears in other places in Tanakh. Ephrasi means Odom Choshuv. So the Pasuk introduces it like that. The Gemara has many times a concept, Odom Choshuv Shiny. The Gemara says, even though something, strictly speaking, is mutter, but an Odom Choshuv should sometimes be machmer on himself not to do it. Because all the Balabatim look up to the Rabbonim, and they assume, well, the Rabbonim do all kinds of chumras, we can do 10 levels lower. So if the rabbi is just going to follow what the din is, and the Balabatim are going to do 10 levels lower, they'll be in violation. But that's why it's required that the Rabbanim have to go to Chumrah, they have to do Lefnim Meshuras Adin. Adam Choshev has to be Machman himself because everybody's looking at him and everybody knows I can do a few levels lower and it'll also be good. So that's what the Pasuk tells us. This family, Naomi and her husband Elimelech and the two sons were the Gedolei Hador. That's what the Gemara uses the expression in Bava Basra that the Rambam quoted that we read before. In Hilchos Melachim, they were the Gedolei Hador, they were Ephrasim. So even though strictly speaking it's permissible to leave Eretz Yisrael if you have a famine, but because they were Adam Chashuv Shiny, has to be Machmer Al Atzmo, because like this, you're just going to open up the floodgates, everybody's going to leave Eretz Yisrael. So that's why they were punished, because they didn't volunteer the Midas Chasidus of staying in Eretz Yisrael. This mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the Ikar mitzvah really means to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently. I think we may have discussed before the summer, is there a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael? Or is the mitzvah only applicable if you live in Eretz Yisrael permanently? So in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, there is a halacha that one is not permitted to start on a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos. There's a machlokes whether it means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or means only Thursday, Friday. Wednesday is mutar. Machlokes is what about Wednesday? Unless one is going, that's if you're going for a cruise, time to have a good time. But if you're going with Dvar Mitzvah, then you're permitted to go. What's the issue involved? So there are different interpretations. It's one of the popular interpretations is that on a boat there may be some Chilul Shabbos necessary. So the Baal HaMor learns the Gemara like that, that if you leave on the boat trip on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's not considered that you're putting yourself into a situation where you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. If you're going on a boat trip, then you fall in. It turns out that there's a sakona on the boat on Shabbos, everybody has to help do something to save everyone's life. So you fell into a matzah of Chilul Shabbos. So what can you do? But if you're going to go the last 3 days before Shabbos on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that looks as if you're putting yourself into a matzah where you may have to be Mechal Shabbos that you're not allowed. So this halacha only applies if you're going on the boat trip Lidvar Hashus. If you're going Lidvar Mitzvah, then it's permissible. Vos haista Dvar Mitzvah. So the example that's given in the Shulchan Aruch is Ha'ola le'Eretz Yisrael. That's in Simen Reish Mem and page 11 in the Marmakimus. In Simen Reish Mem Ches Siv Dalet. It says Ha'ola le'Eretz Yisrael. That's considered a Dvar Mitzvah, so you're permitted to go. It's preferable to go on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but if you can't get a boat that's leaving Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're permitted to go even on Thursday and Friday, because that's considered a mitzvah. So the Mogen Avraham, in his commentary on the side, Tezvav, quotes a machlokes, V'davke al dash lehis yashev, he quotes from the Chafei, is the Knesset HaGdolah, that the commentary, Knesset HaGdolah is a likut of all of the Achronim on the tour in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef made a likut of all the Rishonim and Achronim that he had until his time, and the Knesset HaGdolah was later, there's a likut of those Sfarim not quoted by the Beis Yosef. So the Knesset HaGdolah quotes a machlokes, Davke al dash lehis yashev, only if the person plans to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently, but is only going on a visit to Eretz Yisrael, that's not considered a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah is to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently. The Yesh Omrim, and there are those who disagree, Afil Amanos Lahachzir, even if he's only going to Eretz Yisrael and he plans to return to Chutz Loretz, Kev Nafilim Halach Dalan Amos Eretz Yisrael Mitzvihi, the Gemara says, that was on the first, on page 1 of the Marmakimus, we read the Mishnah that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael and so on. Then the Gemara has a comment on page 2 about one who walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avoinus. The Gemara says that based on the Pasuk in Chumash, V'chiper ad Mosai Amai. It's about 20 lines from the top of the Daf. V'chiper ad Mosai Amai. So the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is that that's at the end of Shiras Hazinu. So it says in the end of Shiras Hazinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the Jewish people because of sins, and the punishment will be so severe that the Jews will wonder, where was God? All the nations will wonder, where was the Jewish God when all of this was happening? No one will understand, how can it be such a fierce punishment? But God was there looking behind the scenes, and he's the one who caused this Shoah. And then it says, and after everything will be all over, V'chiper ad Mosai Amos. So Rashi says, the Pashim Shat is that God will be, well, God will appease his nation, the Chiper Ad Masai Amon. God will appease Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he will rebuild Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuild the Jewish people. So Rashi says, the Pashim Shad the Chiper is Miloshim Piyut. And then Rashi says, Umidrasha, and the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Rashi and Chumash writes that this Gemara Ksubis, Tav Kuf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph, on the second page in the Maram comes, the Gemara understands the Chiper Miloshim Kapora, an atonement for sins. The one who walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael has his sins will be forgiven. The Zionists always used to quote this Gemara: whoever walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael, the sins will be forgiven. So they were sinners. Many of the original Zionists were anti-religious. They couldn't care less about anything. They used to say all the sins are forgiven. So the Minkatcha, who was always opposed to the Zionist movement because it was such a precursor, and he says, is El Pizeda, the Pnei Yeshua writes in his Sefer, and Ksuba from Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Aleph, that you never get any Mechilas Avonis ever without doing any tshuva. Igmar has a Machlekes Rebbe in the Chachamim, what about Yom Kippur? Is Yom Kippur only Mechaper if the people do tshuva, or even if they don't do tshuva? So the taught us the Paskina. How do we know what the Bezen Shalmaila holds? But the Rambam assumes, generally assumed opinions like them, there is a minority opinion for Akeret, but the Rambam assumes that in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, there's never any Mechilas Avonis without tshuva. So the Rambam says when you bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash because you did Chil Shabbos or something, you have to do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, you don't get any kaparev in the korban. When they give you Mrs. Bezdin because you did mitzvah Samayishim Tevin, they give you the death penalty, it's only if you do tshuva. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that the Bezdin tells the person who's about to get the death penalty, do tshuva, say vidui, otherwise your death will not be a kaparev. The Rambam says when you give a person malchus, they tell him, do tshuva, otherwise the malchus will not accomplish an atonement for your sins. And the Rambam says, same as Yom Kippur. There's never any mechilas avinus. Yom Kippur and Havoas Karbonis and Nisa and malchus, everything needs tshuva. So the Pnei Yeshua writes on Ksuva, Zav Kufi, Rav Menal. The same thing with the Gemara says, the one who walks Dal Anamis Neretz Yisrov, his sins are atoned. It's only if the person does tshuva. If he does do tshuva, there's no mechilas avinus. So that's what the Minchas Aloza quotes, that he says, the Zionists, that because and think, that they're going to get a Mechilas Avinus just by walking the Alan Amaz itself, you don't get any Mechilas Avinus unless the people do tshuva. So the Magen Avraham, on page 11 in the Maamar Kaimis, quotes this from the Knesset HaGedolah, that since the Gemara says that there is value to walking the Alan Amaz in Eretz Yisrael, means even though you're going to move back to Chutz Lartz, you're just temporarily visiting Eretz Yisrael, so there are those who are of the opinion that this constitutes a partial Kiyma Mitzvah. The full Kiyma Mitzvah is to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently. And a partial Kiyma Mitzvah is to live in Eretz Yisrael just to walk the Alar Amas in Eretz Yisrael. If you land in the airport and walk the Alar Amas, take the next plane out, so this is a partial Kiyma Mitzvah. There are other Achreinim who disagree. If you look here on page 13, and page 14 in the Maamar Kaimis, this is from a Sefer Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva is a Sefer by the Dayan in Lodz before the Second World War. And it's a collection of Maamar Kaimis. On top of the page, he's quoting from Svarim, that he tells you in the introduction that this is a collection of believe it or not. He's going to quote Tshuvas from Achreinim that people wouldn't believe that Achreinim say. But some of these are humorous, some of these are very unusual opinions. So that's on top of the page. On the bottom of the page, he has his own discussion. So he raises the question, is the here on page 13, there's on the first page here on page 74, so a little bit of his underline, he discusses maybe, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin here on the page 12 in the Maamar Kaimis, so the Gemara says that there are some, about 20 lines from the top. So the Gemara says that there are some dinim deraisa which depend on a person living 12 months in the city. And there are some dinim deraisa that depend on living 30 days in the city. Different dinim. So here the Piskei Tshuva quotes this discussion. If one should assume like that opinion in the Knesset HaGedolah quoted by the Magen Avraham, there is a partial mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael if you live there only temporarily. So the Magen Avraham quotes the extreme. If you only walk Dal Aramis, there's already a partial Kiyma Mitzvah. And the Piskei Tshuva says there are those who question that. They say, no, maybe there's only a partial Kiyma Mitzvah if you live in Eretz Yisrael for 30 days or more. But if you live less than 30 days, that's garnish min garnish. And others hold, no, there's only partial Kiyma Mitzvah if you live in Eretz Yisrael for more than 12 months. If you live there less than 12 months, it's not even a partial Kiyma Mitzvah. So that's why some suggest that if a person is going to Eretz Yisrael on vacation and he has an alternative of making the ticket either for less than 30 days or more than 30 days, he should make his ticket for such a way should be more than 30 days. So if a person is going to Eretz Yisrael for a sabbatical for a whole year, it's preferable, if possible, that he should make the ticket that he should stay there for slightly more than 12 months as opposed to slightly less than 12 months, because there are some achrayim who hold that there's only a partial Kiyma Mitzvah if you stay for more than 12 months. Stay less than 12 months, there isn't even a partial Kiyma Mitzvah. There's one opinion, even if you walk Dal Aramis, there's a partial Kiyma Mitzvah. But because of these different opinions, There are four opinions. One opinion is no partial kima mitzvah. Mitzvah is only if you live in Eretz Yisrael permanently. Anything less than that is arayz gevorf. Mechilas avaynis hayt, mechilas avaynis morgen. But that's not, mechilas avaynis is a separate thing, but that's not the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. The others hold no. But the fact that there's mechilas avaynis, that you walked al aramis, that shows that there's a partial kima mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And the others say no, mechilas avaynis is a separate thing, and the partial kima mitzvah would only be if you either live in Eretz Yisrael for 30 days or for 12 months. Less than 30 days or less than 12 months would not be meaningful at all. So these are various opinions regarding the partial kima mitzvah. So getting back to the tshuva, the Avnei Nezer has this long tshuva. We mentioned it. Yeridei Chelek Sheni, yeah, he was a chassidish rebbe, so the chassidim asked him a question, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And on the assumption that there is such a mitzvah, how come the gedolei hachassidim didn't go? The first half of his tshuva, he establishes that yes, absolutely, there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh, and we shouldn't be misled to believe that the Rambam thinks that it's only a mitzvah midirabbanan, it's not correct. The Rambam also thinks that it's a mitzvah in HaTorah. Why didn't he count it as a separate mitzvah? So he gives his reason based on the Mayani HaChokhma that it's included in mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin. Hachrem Tachrimein is to wipe out the Zainumis, that we should have room to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the other, he doesn't quote the other suggestion, other Achrenim give other suggestion why the Rambam felt you shouldn't count it as a separate mitzvah. The Shain, so if there is a mitzvah Bizman Hazeh to live in Eretz Yisrael, so how come the Gdolei Hasidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? So the Avnei Nezer developed a very beautiful idea, and it's interesting, on page 15 in the Mar Mekoymes, Gilyoni HaShas are the comments written by Rabbi Yosef Engel, contemporary of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, contemporary of the Avnei Nezer. They all lived about the same time. So the Gilyoni HaShas are the notes written by Rabbi Yosef Engel on the side of his Gemara. So they collected all of these notes and they put them together. So here on page 15 in the Mar Mekoymes, he has a comment on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. In Ksubis, on the second column, the second paragraph from the left, Hakol Malin L'Eretz Yisrael. Everybody has the husband and the wife have a sichsuch, so the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerecht tainim. So he writes on the fourth line in that paragraph, Shamay Tebishen Godel Echod. That's the Avnei Nezer. That's the Tzachat Shavar Rebbe. I don't know why he doesn't write his name. He writes, he heard in the name of an Adam Godel, one of his contemporaries, Tzachat Shavar Rebbe, Sha'omar, the Iker Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, who the main mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not Stam, you should live in Eretz Yisrael. See, the Tzachat Shavar, the Avnei Nezer writes like this, if the Gedolei Hachsidus in the earlier generations would have moved to Eretz Yisrael, how would you imagine it? There were no Hasidim living in Eretz Yisrael, there were no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. No one made a living there. So how would you imagine that Tzaddikim would move to Eretz Yisrael? The Hasidim from Europe would send them money. They would live in Eretz Yisrael in a Goyish society, in a non-Jewish society, in a non-religious society, and they would be supported by the Hasidim who would send them money from Chutz Lord. So the Avnei Nezer says that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. To live in Eretz Yisrael, it's Yishuv. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means to improve the land. So that's a famous passage in the Chidush Chasam Sefer Masech HaSukkah and Perek Lulabah Gozel. The Avnei Nezer doesn't quote it, but many other, the Shtechemet quotes it, many other Achren quote it. The Chasam Sefer has a comment that there is a discussion in Brochus, a famous discussion in Brochus, Daf Lamed Hei, that on the one hand it says in the Pasuk, V'hagisa bo yom v'alai, we're supposed to learn Torah by day and by night. And there's another Pasuk in Kriyat Shema that says, V'yasafto digonecho, V'sirosh chavitzarecho, the people daf machana parnosin. So how does this jive? How can you sit and learn all day and all night if daf machana parnosin? So the Gemara has a machlok in Satanoi. So Rab Shimon Bar Yochai says, V'zman she'osim ritzonu shal mokam, if the Yidna really on the proper madrega, the mon will fall down from heaven, and no one has to go work for a living, and everybody sits and learns in a koilo, and everything is taken care of in Hashemayim. And Rabbi Shmuel says, what are you talking about? It's a machlokes, it's one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Ben, printed in the Siddur. Rabbi Shmuel says they're Yud Gimel Midrash, before Baruch Shomah, says that Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah, so one of them is, Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim Zezeh, if you have two psukim that seem to be contradictory, And then you have a third pasuk that seems to resolve the apparent contradiction. So what do you do if you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim zezer, and there is no kasuv ashlishi she'achri b'nei? What do you do in such a case? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. You have it in a beitza, it's a machlokes hatanoim. One pasuk says atzeres tialachem, that on yontif you're supposed to eat and drink and be merry. And one pasuk says, describing yontif, atzeres l'shem alakecha, supposed to dedicate the day of yontif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which is it? The snake of Mamakrishim Zezer. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes Ablezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Ablezer says, whenever you have such a contradiction, it's an option, either A or B. So you choose, either you dedicate the whole day to learning and davening and saying tilim and so on, or the whole day of Yontif should be eating and drinking and making merry. And we don't pass like Rabbi Blazer, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. Chalkeyu, chetzi l'Hashem, v'chetzi l'chem. The Raman passes like Rabbi Yeshua. Whenever there's a machlek Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Yeshua, Ruba, the Ruba of the cases, we pass against Rabbi Blazer. Rabbi Blazer was Shamutihu, who is from the Beis Shammai. So we rarely pass him. The Gemara says there are only four cases where we pass like Rabbi Blazer, we disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. So this is not one of the four cases. So this machlek Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Yeshua, is a fundamental machlokes in the midrash Atarna Vyashispem. How do you deal with the case of Shnei Ksuvim Hamakrishim Zezer? And you're looking, can't find the Kasav Ashlishi Shachri Benei. So we pass like Rabbi Yeshua Chalkehu. So the same is over here. On the one hand, there's a pasuk that says you should learn V'Hagisa B'Yom V'Lai, you should learn all day and all night. On the other hand, there's a pasuk that says Medaf Machan Aparnosa. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's what it means. Hanik Bad Meaning Darach Eretz. You have to blend in together. You have to make a parnasa a little bit, and then you have to learn, and you have to see to it that you have more free time in order to learn, but you shouldn't skimp on the parnasa. You should make a parnasa and learn when you have the free time. Then the Gemara has a historical comment. Harbi also Kirab Shimon Ba'ichoi. Many people attempted to sit and learn in Kailol, but they also be Odom, it didn't work. And Harbi also Kirab Shmuel, they also be Odom. Many people tried to follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and they were successful in life because that's the accepted opinion. That's how we paskin. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua there in Beitza, that when they have a contradiction between the two psukim, Atzeres Tialachem and Atzeres L'Hashem Alakecha, we paskin Chalkeyu, Chetzi L'Hashem and Chetzi L'Hashem. If you don't have a Kasav Ashlishi, Sheachri Benem, you don't have a third pasuk that tells you how to make the compromise, then you make the compromise on your own, Chalkeyu. So the same over here, the Gemara says that we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, that Hanigba meaning Darchet, you have to make a compromise and blend the two in together. So the Chasam Sefer has in his Chidushim Amaseches Sukkah and Perek Lulav HaGozel. This is quoted by all the later Svarim. The modern Zionist Svarim finally woke up and they quote this Chasam Sefer. But everybody used to quote this Chasam Sefer in the earlier years. The Chasam Sefer says that what Rabbi Shmuel says, Hanigba meaning Darchet, that it's a mitzvah to work on the farm. He says he's talking about an Eretz Yisrael. If you work on a farm in Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah. If you do something to improve the economy, you do something to improve the security in Eretz Yisrael, you do something to educate the masses. So that's called the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You work on a farm or you improve something in Eretz Yisrael. But just a guy lives in Eretz Yisrael and he lives off his American retirement fund, and he doesn't improve the economy. Well, today, if a Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael, so he's shopping in a Jewish store, and he's giving business to the Jewish stores over there. Okay, so he is helping out the economy. But years ago, that's what the Sachat Shever Rebbe writes. Years ago, what will be accomplished if the Chassidish Rebbes would have gone, the Gedolei Chassidus would have moved to Eretz Yisrael? They would be all alone. There were no Chassidim to talk to. There were no religious Jews that they should influence. If a person is a Rebbe in a yeshiva, a Rav in a community, so he has hashpoah on the population, so he's accomplishing something. If a person works on a farm, he works in security, he works on business in Eretz Yisrael, but just to live in Eretz Yisrael, yeshiva's Eretz Yisrael, without yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, so the Chasam Sefer writes, and that's what the Avnei Nezer writes, that's not really the mitzvah. It's a partial mitzvah. It's a very small chelik of the mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer writes, the Gedolei Hasidus knew that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but the full mitzvah is only if they'll accomplish something. What are they going to do? They'll live in Eretz Yisrael, they won't accomplish anything. So they felt it's preferable to live in Chutz Lord and work on their Hasidim and give the return, their Hasidus and Chizuk and Amunah and so on, and Halach and Shmiras HaMitzvahs, rather than to move to Eretz Yisrael, lose all of their hashpoan and balabatim, and only fulfill a chelik of a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So that idea that the Sochet Shavu Rebbe was famous for, that the Iker mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is only if you accomplish something, really the Chassam Sofer has that. The Sochet Shavu doesn't quote the Chassam Sofer. So he sounds like he, here, Rabbi Yosef Engel, sounds like he's quoting this from the Sochet Shavu Rebbe. He wouldn't refer to the Chassam Sofer as a God Lechot. He's referring to some contemporary of his. Sha'omar. This is the Sochet Shavu Svar. The Iker Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael will be his Stapkus Eretz Yisrael. If you're using Eretz Yisrael, if there's a relationship between you and Eretz Yisrael, Haimah Shetiya HaParnasim Misham. That's what the Avnei Nezer quotes. Yaakov Avinu lived in Chutz Lo'aretz for many years. So then, because he ran away from Esav, then when he comes back to Esav, so he sends him tremendous matanis. He sends him a lot. So Rashi on Chumash quotes from the Medrash, why did he give all the matanis to Esav? He says, I want to live now in Eretz Yisrael. I want to make a parnas in Eretz Yisrael. Ein yichsei chutz lo'etz kidai heimli. What does that expression mean? So the Avnei Nezer interprets in that Rashi Achumish, Rashi is quoting from the Medrash, Ein yichsei chutz lo'etz kidai heimli, to live in Eretz Yisrael over the welfare was accumulated in chutz lo'etz, over your retirement money in America, and there's no Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. Today you live in Eretz Yisrael on your retirement money, so you're helping out the economy in Eretz Yisrael. You're helping all the shopkeepers. You're buying food, you're buying clothing, you're buying furniture, you're buying an automobile, you're helping everybody out. But in the days of Yaakov Avinu, he's not improving the economy, he's not improving anything in Eretz Yisrael. So to live in Eretz Yisrael on the Nichsei Chutzlos Dosen Ishke Mitzvah, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is to do something productive with Eretz Yisrael. That's the Histapek Eretz Yisrael, to use Eretz Yisrael and to give something back. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel writes over here, he quotes a rai, when you write a get, so the Gemara says you have to write the name of the city, and the Gemara says there are different cities that have, there are many cities that have the same name. New York, there are many New Yorks. We live in New York, New York. The other states have New York, they have Newark, they have Cairo, they have Jerusalem. Probably every state has a Jerusalem, there are many, many Jerusalem. So the Gemara says when you write the name of the city, so you identify what river is it near, or what lake is it on, or what ocean is it on. So New York City, you write the name of the oceans, the name, you name the ocean, the lake, the rivers, and so on, the streams. Okay. So he quotes from Achrayim that the only time you mention, you write Masa Diyasva al Kaif Nara. Let's say in New York, you write Masa Diyasva al Kaif Nara al Nahar Hudson. It's on the Hudson River and it's on the ocean. You don't write Atlantic Ocean, just write it's on the ocean and on the Hudson River. So you say Masa de Yasva, a city that is located. Yasva means located. So the Achrayim write, you only use the expression Yasva if there's a relationship between the city and the river or the city and the lake. If you use the river for transportation, if you use the river for water, you need water for irrigating or for drinking. But if the people never use the water at all, just that it's located there, just that the city is sitting next to this river, then you don't use the expression Masa de Yasra. Yasra means if there's some relationship between the people who live in the city and that body of water. So he says the same is true regarding the expression of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means there's some relationship between the person and Eretz Yisrael. He's working on a farm or he's improving the economy. Or he's improving the security in Eretz Yisrael. He does something for Eretz Yisrael. Or he has an influence on the community. He teaches. It's a rabbi, something. He does something with the population in Eretz Yisrael. But just to live in Eretz Yisrael all by himself, over, and live on the money that's sent from Chutz Lo'aretz, and not to be improving the economy at all, so he says that's not really the Iker Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's very interesting. There is a tshuva by Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger lived in Galicia and Brod. So there was a man who was married, and he had a job, and the Parnassa wasn't going well. So he switched one job, another job, the Parnassa was still no good. So he decided he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael in order to make a Parnassa. His wife didn't want to go along. So he was going to divorce his wife and not pay her the ksuba, as it says in the Mishnah. So Rav Shlomo Kluger was asked what he thinks. So he said he doesn't think that the Din HaMishnah applies in this case. He says the din in the Mishnah only applies that the man has a right to divorce his wife and not pay the ksubah if he made up his mind he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of the mitzvah. This guy, all the years of his marriage, never had a havamin, and now also he's not interested in moving to Eretz Yisrael. You ask him now, you interview him, he says he's not interested in living in Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvah. He has to make a parnassus. He tried so many different parnassus in Chutzlot, it didn't go. But the man gets, if he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he can open up a business there that will go. So he says that you're going shaloi l'shem mitzvah, you have no right to divorce your wife. When you say, let's say, this is a discussion in the Gemara. Let's say a fellow goes fishing on Shabbos. It's a malacha. So go fishing on Shabbos and malacha. So the guy goes intention of going fishing, and then it turns out when he pulls in the net, there was a baby who was drowning in the river. And by his fishing, pulling out the fish, he was interested in pulling out fish. It happens that he saved the baby's life. They did an act of pikuach nefesh. So the Gemara has a whole discussion in Menachos whether he's chayiv chatas, chayiv misa, chayiv chatas b'shegig, or not. Why should it be chayiv chatas? He did it pikuach nefesh. It was mutter. So the premise of the Gemara is: it's whenever you have pikuach nefesh, is doicha something. Aresa decha loy sesei. Whenever a mitzvah is doicha sam avera, it's only doicha if you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. If what motivates you to do it is l'shem mitzvah. But if your motivation is parnasa, the guy's moving to Eretz Yisrael for parnasa. Why is he divorcing his wife? Not because of the holy lishmo of fulfilling the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to divorce his wife because she doesn't want to go along. He's looking for a better parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, this is not a hetter to divorce your wife, and he says if he wants to divorce his wife, daf et zon diksur, he says sholei kedin. Bottom line is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? The pashtus is that there certainly is a mitzvah. Pashtus is that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, and the mitzvah applies whenever a person has an option of living in Eretz Yisrael in a reasonable fashion. So if the person is retired already and he can live in Eretz Yisrael, and by his spending his retirement money, he'll be improving the economy there. So that's a fool. That's the mitzvah b'shlei musa. If the person will have to live in Eretz Yisrael off of tzedakah, that doesn't nishke mitzvah. But if he's not doing any, that's not a normal choice. If he can live in chutz laaretz and have a parnasa, live in Eretz Yisrael and not have a parnasa, so that's unreasonable. Ahu adinami, if the spouse doesn't want to go along, he doesn't want to leave his wife, doesn't want to leave his children, they all live in America. It's not uncomfortable on that life. If the choice, if to live in Eretz Yisrael is such a miserable choice, it's so it'll make him so unhappy, that then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But whenever a person has an option of living in Eretz Yisrael and making a reasonable parnasa and being reasonably happy, even if he won't be the happiest man in the world, he won't be making the $2 million that he made in Los Angeles, he'll only never make $500,000. Or even less than that, so that's a reasonable choice. So then everybody agrees it's taka mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael.